Hello and welcome to Double Reel, the monthly magazine podcast for the discerning film nerd. My name's James Adamson and I'm a film nerd with a geeky love of film and obscure stories from the world of cinema and a lot of opinions. Joining me on the podcast is my co-host, also called James Adamson. Welcome, James.
Hello and thank you for that introduction.
This is the Penalty Shootout Film Quiz. We released this as part of our four installments of our sort of big monthly issue of Double Reel. It's for those of you who like a quiz, we've taken it out of Double Reel Monthly, given it its own episode. It is basically a fiendish and complicated battle of wits and wills between two sort of nerdy film and quiz enthusiasts, me against James, father versus son. Why don't you walk people through the format, mate?
So it is a penalty shootout with a sort of coin toss to decide who goes first. The coin toss is basically we give each other a category, either a director or a set of films or whatever, and we get them to rank them blindly. So I could say, rank these Martin Scorsese films without knowing what comes next. And after we've both had a go at doing that, we decide just kind of diplomatically who had the best ranking. And once we agree, that person gets to choose who goes first, but more importantly, they get a lifeline throughout the shootout so they can get a very handy clue if they're stuck on a question. The penalty shootout itself is a set of five questions each, and the winner gets to decide a forfeit for the loser. If it's a draw, we go to sudden death. If there's still no winner, we sort of just agree to finish it on a draw, and nobody loses that kind of episode or that edition this month. Unless we've done really badly and we get 0 out of 5, then I think we've both kind of agreed that we both have to do our forfeit. Now, the forfeit is usually watch a film that the other would not like to see.
Yeah, so we each choose a forfeit in terms of watching a film something the other person won't see. It's currently 5-0 on aggregate to James. He's won 5. I haven't won any. There's been several draws. I'm desperately trying to claw back some pride. I used to think I was good at quizzes until we started doing this. Basically, my forfeit has always been for James to watch the Wes Anderson film The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, because he doesn't like Wes Anderson, and I know he's going to hate that film. I've done a range of things. I've watched an Uwe Boll film. I've watched Baz Luhrmann's Australia. God help me. The Uwe Boll film was quite fun, though, actually. Now, the last time, you asked me to watch The Room. Now, obviously, didn't do the forfeit because it ended in a draw. That's the famously bad film, The Room. I'm going to hold on to the forfeit of The Life Aquatic. Are you going to stick to the same one, or did you have a new idea?
Yeah, I think we have to.
Okay. So the same swords of Damocles hanging over each of us. So as James has described, we're going to do a blind ranking each of five items, films, actors, or something. And then the shootout, we'll see who wins. Do you want to rank a list first, or do you like to ask me to rank a list first?
You ask me to rank a list first.
Okay, I'm pretty sure I've not asked you to do this before. We've done this a few times, but I am trying to keep track. I would like you to rank blindly these five Denzel Washington films.
Okay.
Firstly, Deja Vu.
But Denzel Washington doesn't really do absolute stinkers unless you've picked one out of your ass from like back in the day. So Deja Vu is good. I reckon you've got a 2 in here that might be worse than that. So I'm going to put it 3.
Okay, next, American Gangster.
Now, I liked American Gangster. Did I like Deja Vu more than American Gangster or less? Let's put American Gangster 4.
Okie dokie. Next, Training Day.
2.
Okay. Next, Philadelphia.
1.
And finally, Malcolm X.
5. Now, I'm actually not too unhappy with that list in the sense that that's probably there or thereabouts how I would have ranked them. I maybe would have had Malcolm X above American Gangster, but I think I liked American Gangster more than Malcolm X.
Yeah, I mean, the main reason I chose Denzel Washington is for the exact reason you pick out, that he doesn't do stinkers and they're going to be hard to kind of... It's hard to obviously go, oh, this is obviously his worst film, I'll put that 5, do you know what I mean? But what it does mean is that most rankings you could do of five of his films are defensible, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
But there you go. That's yours. We'll see how I do by comparison.
So, I want you to rank these Tom Hardy films.
Okay.
So, first one is Warrior. It's a great film.
Don't know what else is on the list, though. I'm going to play it safe and say three.
Okay. Bronson. Shut the fuck up, you cunt.
I do like what he did in Bronson. Four. That's it. Four, however, four.
Inception.
Now, simply because, although Tom Hardy is a kind of a fairly, you know, by his standards, a fairly standard character in it and doesn't do his best acting work. There's nothing wrong with what he does, but he just kind of, he does a fairly even keel character because that's what the film needs. But I love the film so much, I'm going to make that one. Even though, you know, I wouldn't, if I was going to call out the best Tom Hardy performance, I wouldn't call it that, but I'm going to say one for Inception.
Legend.
Five.
And last, but certainly not least, Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh! I walked into that. Two. I haven't ranked that right.
So you've got Inception, then Mad Max, then Warrior, then Inception. No.
Bronson.
And then Inception. It's not the worst.
Yeah, although, three, four, and five I'm happy about, but one and two I've clearly got wrong.
I don't know. I think...
See, I mean, if you...
In terms of performance, though, I think he does more as the Kray twins than he does in Mad Max Fury Road, depending on how you're wanting to handle
it. Yeah, I was just ranking the films, to be honest.
Okay.
Fair enough. And obviously, Inception over Mad Max Fury Road is not... I mean, you would probably rank Inception over Mad Max Fury Road, you know, in general as to what your favourite films are, but I feel like, you know, he's the lead in Mad Max Fury Road, and I do love that movie. And yeah.
He doesn't really do much, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think when I think of Mad Max Fury Road, I think more about Furiosa.
Yes, but I do think what Tom Hardy does is it's an absolute masterclass in not doing very much. It's very true to what Mel Gibson did with the Mad Max character. Like in Mad Max 2, the best film until Mad Max Fury Road goes along, he's only got like 20 lines of dialogue.
Yeah,
and it's how good is he that he's. That's what the Max character is. But anyway, I think you've probably done better with yours than I have with mine because I got completely ambushed at the end there. So you have the choice of going first or not, and a lifeline.
I'll go first.
How many Best Picture Oscar-winning films are remakes? Now, just to be clear, we're not going to count that. We're not going to include the latest one, although we're not sure it's material to this answer. How many Best Picture Oscar-winning films are remakes? A, 4, B, 6, or C, 8?
A, 4, B, 6, C. I can't even think of one.
Now, just to be clear, right, in defining remakes here, Titanic doesn't count because it's not a specific remake of another film. It's just another film about a story that's been done before. I'm not counting that. I'm being stricter than we normally are on the remake hate watch category, right? Musical reworkings of existing stories don't count. So Oliver doesn't count as a remake, the musical, even though Oliver Twist was a movie before, yeah? We're also not including Lord of the Rings Return of the King because his storyline doesn't actually feature in the 1978 film. However, if there's been a Romeo and Juliet before and then Romeo and Juliet gets made and wins an Oscar, that would be a remake, yeah? And if someone actually remakes a film or does another adaptation of the same book, that's a remake. So that's what we mean by a remake.
So we say 4, 6, and 8.
Yep.
So I have a feeling, because it has two names, that My Fair Lady might be one of them.
I'm going to be clear to you, My Fair Lady isn't, because it's a musical reworking of of another story.
Even though I'm pretty sure there's a film Pygmalion.
Yeah, it's just Pygmalion was a stage play, and then they did a musical version, My Fair Lady, which was a different work. It's like West Side Story is not a remake of Romeo and Juliet under these rules, basically.
Surely there's got to be a Shakespeare one in here. And if it was, it would probably be fucking Hamlet, wouldn't it? So maybe go for that one. But other than that, I feel like we're going to be looking at, like, you know, plays / musicals that have just been made into films hundreds of times. But then I have to think of plays / musicals that have won Best Picture. And I can only really think of maybe Hamlet and maybe West Side Story. But that's only two. Maybe does Ben Hur? I'm going to go for four because I can't think of that many.
The answer is six.
Ugh.
The six remakes, by this definition, like I said, we didn't count Oliver and West Side Story because there hadn't been a previous movie. Because West Side Story was a Broadway show in its own right, inspired by Romeo and Juliet. And that West Side Story, the original one, won Best Picture, but it wasn't a remake of that movie. But the ones that are definitely remakes are Hamlet, Olivier's Hamlet, because that had been filmed before that was made. Around the World in 80 Days was not the first version of that film, of that story. Gigi, Ben-Hur, The Departed, and Coda, which are direct remakes of other films.
Yeah, I wasn't getting that.
Okay, so you're yet to get off the mark. What's my first question?
So, your first question is, not including the following, can you name the three lowest grossing Christopher Nolan films?
When you said
following made about 100,000.
When you said not including the following, I thought you were going to give me a list of films. No, sure. Sorry, no. That's just, I know what you mean.
As bigger pictures, basically.
Okay, so we're obviously going to exclude Oppenheimer, which made $1 billion, and the three Dark Knight films, which all made, well, hang on, The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises were both close to $1 billion. I think Batman Begins did very well for the time, but that's still lower. But then, what have we got? We've got Tenet was about $350 million, which was, I think, the highest grossing film during the pandemic, but pretty low grossing for him. So Tenet is a possibility. Now, I think Memento is one of the three, so I'm just going to put Memento down as one of his lowest grossing films.
That is one of them?
That's one of them. Now, the other nominations are going to be, now, Dunkirk did about 500-odd, Oppenheimer did close to $1 billion, like $950 million or something. Interstellar did about 600. Dark Knight Rises is close to $1 billion, Dark Knight's close to $1 billion, Inception's like $800 million. So you're talking about which are the possibilities that didn't make that kind of money? Tenet is about 350. So that might be, you're talking about someone, how many people would give their right arm for $350 million to be one of their lowest grossing films? But I'm not sure if that is. It's a question of whether The Prestige did more than that and whether Insomnia did more than that. Because Tenet's a weird one. In a normal year, Tenet would have done the kind of money I think Interstellar or Dunkirk did. It's not going to make $1 billion like his other films. Not everyone loved it. But the only one it makes about 300 odd is because it's COVID and it was hardly anyone was going to the cinema back then. So what are we thinking here? Yeah, I reckon Batman Begins did about 500 million, which is low, but not the lowest. I think maybe then... How much money did The Prestige do? Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman are big stars, right? Does that do more than Tenet back in the day? I seem to remember Insomnia was, you know, not in the range of his more recent films. I'm going to say Insomnia is one of his lowest grossing.
Yep.
Okay, so now I'm basically tossing a coin between Prestige and Tenet. The thing with Tenet is it was low grossing compared to its budget, and it was low grossing because it was COVID and not everybody went, and when you did go, you had to keep the room half empty. But then there was nothing else on, so if anyone wanted to go and see a film, it was kind of the only thing on. So I'm going to say The Prestige.
Correct.
Oof. How close is it between those two?
Actually not close at all. So following, like I said, 240,000. Mm-hmm. Memento, 40.1 million. The Prestige, 109.7 million. And Insomnia, 113.7 million. And then it jumps to Tenet on 365.2 million. Batman Begins, 373.7 million. Dunkirk, all right. 530 million. Interstellar, 7 and yeah, so on so forth.
Batman Begins is lower than I thought, actually.
Yeah.
All right, that's 1-0 to me. One question each. We're now on your second question.
Yep.
Okay, so what was the first film to gross over $1 billion on its initial release? A, Jurassic Park. B, Independence Day. C, Titanic. Now, just to be clear, we're talking about, we're not adjusting for inflation. It's whatever a dollar was worth back then, right? And it doesn't include reissues. So if a film came out, had a 10th anniversary reissue, that's not going into the box office. It's basically everything it did in the cinema, like the year or so after it got released.
Right. Okay. So Jurassic Park, Independence Day, Titanic.
Yeah.
Now, from so not including
So, for example, if Titanic got like a 25th anniversary reissue, it wouldn't count towards the total box office. However, if it comes out and has a good initial release and then like just before the Oscars, they put it out in cinemas again just to get a bit of attention, that will count. So anything about a year or so after it comes out. So for Jurassic Park, you're talking about from 1993 till about a year after that, Independence Day 96 to 97, and Titanic 97 to 98, when it has its, you know, main release window.
Okay, so initially I am leaning towards Titanic just because it did make about $2.5 billion. Now, I reckon the other two have made $1 billion, but I reckon Jurassic Park's had loads of re-releases, and it's probably, like, chipped away, getting closer, and probably has exceeded $1 billion, and maybe the same with Independence Day, although I'm not entirely confident in that. I think I'm going to rule out Independence Day, and I think Jurassic Park's one of those ones that it's become a bit of a classic because of the, you know, the dinosaurs and that, and it probably gets re-released loads, but I think within that first year, I don't think it made $1 billion, so I'm going to say Titanic.
Is a perfect answer. Perfect. Everything you just described is correct. Jurassic Park has, over the years, gone over the $1 billion mark, but that's only with a 10th and, I think, 20th anniversary reissue where it went back in cinemas. And I think it even came out its 30th anniversary last year and did another $200 million because everyone went, wow, yeah. Jurassic Park. but it did 914 million on its initial release.
Still fucking unreal.
That's fucking massive. In 1993 dollars, that's a lot of money.
That's like 4 billion today. That's crazy.
It's a lot of money. Independence Day did really well as well for the time. I mean, it's not a very good film, but it did 817 million, which is pretty pretty solid. But yes, Titanic was the first one to cross the crossed the 2 billion mark, and on its initial release it got just shy of $2 billion around the world. But that
I know it made a billion in like 2 months or something like that.
Yeah,
crazy.
And lucky for them it did, because it cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 1-1 now, but I have a second question to answer now.
Okay, your next question: Raiders of the Lost Ark won 4 Oscars. Can you name the Oscars that the film won for, not including a special achievement award, because it doesn't count?
Okay, so now I know that it was nominated for Best Picture, but didn't win, because that was the year of either Chariots of Fire or Gandhi, and I think it would have been pretty seismic if a Spielberg film had won Best Picture back then, and an action film had won back then. But just getting nominated was news, so it's not Best Picture. It's going to be your... It's going to be your technical ones, isn't it? Now, you know, you've got things like visual effects, sound, score. Obviously, is that one of the ones that John Williams won the score for? This is weird. Was that score? It's so hard with John Williams to know what he's won for and what he hasn't, because he's had so many... You know when John Williams has done a score and it's really classic and you think, oh, it must have won best score, you know, because Star Wars did. But not everything that he's done, even though I've hummed the tune a million times in the school playground, that doesn't mean it was won an Oscar. So get that out of your head. Get out of your head. I think for the time, I was going to say visual effects, but sometimes the special achievement or the special awards are for visual effects, because maybe there was certain, that's a rabbit hole. What sort of things is it going to get for? The sound. Must be sound. The sound is awesome at the end. Best sound. Is that one?
Let me double check the phrasing of it. So I'm going to give you one to get wrong, because that's actually what the special achievement was for.
Oh, right.
So
if
you'd said something that it didn't win for, but it did win for the...
Okay, if that's the special achievement award, then... Visual effects, it must have won for visual effects, because no one else was doing kind of people's faces being melted off by the Ark of the Covenant back then.
Oh, sorry. Best sound is one as well, so you've got two already. So this is very confusing. Special achievement is sound effects editing.
Ah, okay.
So you've got two, there's two more to get.
Okay.
Visual effects sound you've got, so there's two more, and you've also managed to get the special achievement award.
Okay. I tell you what, the thing that gets underrated from Spielberg films, because everyone thinks a lot of what he does just happens, right? This is why no one else could do a film as good as Jaws. They said, oh yeah, we'll do a shark, and everyone else does a really shit shark film. And the reason his films are so good, right? It's like in Minority Report, when the Samantha Morton jumps out of the water suddenly. It's the editing. If he's going to win an Oscar for something, it's going to be the editing of his films. I'm going to say editing.
Best film editing, yep.
How many have I got so far?
You've got 3, there's one more to get.
Okay. Trying to think, does all the bits where people's faces at the end, it like gets smashed up and melted, does that count as makeup? It probably doesn't, because it's only one scene. What else has that film got? We talked about editing because he's jumping off things and running around. Is it the score? Because obviously the score is legendary. It's not direction. It's not, and we've talked about sound and we talked about visual effects. And it's not director. It's not best picture. It's going to be, is it the score or is it going to be like the, is it, they're sometimes called different things, different years, like production design or costume design. It probably won't get costume design, because the costume design is always going to like period dramas with big dresses, you know, Indian as suit or as, you know, the Nazi stuff. That probably doesn't get it. But what do they call it? It's not always called production design, but obviously they have, you have all the stuff, you have, you know, all of the Egypt stuff, you have the Ark room and all of that. I reckon that's production design, but do they call it production design? What did they call it back then? Art direction? Yeah, because they said that Alien was all about the art direction. That's what you used to call it back then, although everyone calls it production design. If I say art direction, it's actually production design. Maybe I've tripped myself up, but I think they called it art direction. I don't think it's best score, because I think John Williams won best score for other stuff. Art direction.
So, art direction / set direction, but of course that's correct.
All right, that's I knew it was the sets, but I'd never know what they call it.
No, that's absolutely fine.
Okay, all right. So is that 2-1 to me after two questions?
Yes.
Your third question. Which of this year's nominees for the Best Picture Oscar has the lowest IMDb rating?
Out of the 10 this year?
Yeah. Shall I read them all out? I'll read them all out.
Yeah, I don't know if I can remember all 10. I know it's probably not going to be Oppenheimer.
I'll read them all out so that you can kind of, so that you've at least got them all. Okay, so the Best Picture nominations in alphabetical order: American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
Okay. So I don't think it's Oppenheimer.
Remember, you've got a lifeline if you want to use it.
I'm going to try and break it down. So Oppenheimer's definitely top. Or not necessarily top, but definitely not the lowest. Now, I reckon there's a lot of like 7s and 7.5s in here. I'm trying to think, is there any of them there that just maybe got like a 6.9. Was Killers of the Flower Moon was nominated, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was nominated for Best Picture, yeah.
So, Oppenheimer, no. Poor Things, I think, was around about 8 last time I checked. It just depends on, like, what did Zone of Interest get? You know, I reckon it's very close. What were they again? Sorry. Not Oppenheimer. I don't think it's Killers of the Flower Moon. I don't think it's Poor Things.
Other than the ones you've said, you've got American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Maestro, Past Lives. You said Zone of Interest and Poor Things.
Okay. Now, what did Maestro get? This must be very close. Is Maestro the one that definitely got that under a 7 rating? Do you know what I mean? I think there's a lot of 7 to like 8s. Oppenheimer's like an 8.5-ish. Or maybe I'm overrating Barbie. Did Barbie get like a 6.7? Even though I really enjoyed it. I don't even... Ten is way too many to fucking nominate, isn't it?
Yeah, they've done that to open it out. Basically, what happened was The Dark Knight was such a good film, and they said, "Oh, we can't give one of five like Best Picture nomination spots to a Batman movie." So the solution was, rather than admit some of these like genre films are really good, the decision they took was to say, "Let's give out 10, because then if we have to cheaply give one to a box office movie, it's all right."
I'm gonna go for Maestro. Just because Oppenheimer's clear. I think there's going to be maybe a couple of 8s, a few 7.7s, maybe a 7.4. And I reckon there's one or two that are under 7. And I think out of all, and I think Maestro will be the lowest.
Is the right answer.
Oh, that's a fucker of a question.
Yeah, so the bottom three... And I'm just double checking, because you know you can sometimes check the scores and then they can change a little bit, especially on relatively recent films. But when I checked, the bottom three were... where did I write this down? Yeah, the bottom three were American Fiction, which has got like 7.6. Barbie is 6.9, basically because it's been review bombed by fucking fans of Ben Shapiro. Because Barbie's a seven out of 10 film. It's not like I don't think it's, you know, but it's weird for, do you know, a film can be quite bad and have a 6-point-something rating on IMDb, and Maestro is 6.6 because people haven't really taken to that film at all. Because people have just gone, Bradley Cooper wants an Oscar, and that's the only reason that film exists.
Bradley Cooper hates his children.
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it?
That was fucking odd.
Okay, so after three questions, you've got two. This is my third question.
It's funny that we mention him, but Bradley Cooper has been nominated for 12 Oscars. Now, not including Maestro. Right? Not including Maestro, because I feel like that's a bit unfair. So that takes away 3 Oscars. He's been nominated for 9 Oscars, not including Maestro. Can you name 4 of them?
Is this the actual award category that he was... What are you asking for? The film that he's nominated for, or the actual... So, for example, do you want me to say he was nominated for this award for this film? Yeah?
Right, so let me clarify. So, 1, 2, 3. Okay, so... He's been nominated for 6, his involvement in 6 other films, not including Maestro. Mm-hmm. So if you name the film, I'd like you to name the category. So you've got 6 mm-hmm. films. He's been nominated multiple times for different films. So yeah, I would like you to mention, like, tell me the category that he was nominated for. Because you could just, you know, pick a film that he's been nominated for. Maybe a couple of times, and that would count as 2. So you're going to have to be like specific, sorry, with it.
Okay, so I am fairly sure that he was nominated for Best Actor for A Star Is Born.
That is 1.
Now, I was trying to remember, because he directed A Star Is Born as well, was he also nominated for Best Director? I'm not sure about that. How many do I need to name?
So you've named 1, so you've got 3 more to name.
Okay. I'm trying to pick my safest bet. Silver Linings Playbook is the one that he was in with Jennifer Lawrence, and she was nominated for Best Actress. And that was the... That was the David O. Russell heyday, wasn't it? I think Best Actor for that is a safe bet. So Best Actor for that.
Yep.
Okay. Now, what film's got loads of nominations that he was in? Because it's only nominations, right? Because obviously he hasn't won. American Hustle got lots and lots of nominations, but I'm not sure was he in there. Was I'm not counting Maestro. Star Is Born's got loads and loads and loads of awards, hasn't it? And he was heavily involved in that. Is it something like he's a producer on A Star Is Born, so he was one of the nominees for Best Picture? I'm going to say Best Picture nominee, Star Is Born.
Yep.
Okay. So with American Hustle, is he nominated for Best Actor for American Hustle? I don't know if he was, because who else is in that? Christian Bale's in that. Loads of people in that. I don't know if that's... Maybe he was. Oh, I don't know. It's America. Oh, I feel like American Hustle is just there to lead to my downfall. Was he nominated for Nightmare Alley? That had a lot of nominations. Was he nominated for Best Actor for that? What about American Sniper? Because I feel that's... I know Eastwood was nominated for Best Director. There was a lot of talk about that one. That's one of the ones where people started saying, oh, maybe Bradley Cooper should win. He really bulked up. Real-life character. Spoiler alert, dies at the end. Ugh. So American Sniper Best Actor is one possibility. Nightmare Alley? I don't know. Best Director for Star Is Born, was he nominated? All right, just because that was still like safe territory, I think, yeah, American Sniper. I feel like that's the one. It's a Clint Eastwood film. It's not that fucking David O. Russell abomination.
What category?
Best Actor.
Correct.
Oh.
So the ones you didn't mention, best performance by an actor in a supporting role for American Hustle.
Oh, I thought he was best actor nominated in that.
Nope. Ooh. And then he was a producer, so best picture for American Sniper, best adapted screenplay for A Star Is Born.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he wrote it as
and
well, didn't he?
He was a producer on Joker, which was best picture, and a producer for Nightmare Alley, so best picture.
Oh, that's because Joker's directed by the guy who did The Hangover, right?
Yes.
That must be why he's doing that. Okay, all right, okay. Okay, so that's 3-2 after three questions.
Yes.
Here is your fourth. When they were making Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, director Alfonso Cuarón asked his lead actors to each write an essay on their character as part of their preparation for the role. With me so far?
Yes.
The three leads in question are Daniel Radcliffe as Harry, Emma Watson as Hermione, and Rupert Grint as Ron Weasley. One of these lead actors wrote a detailed 16-page paper.
I know the answer. So Emma Watson did a really detailed one. Daniel Radcliffe did about a page, and Rupert Grint didn't even bother to turn his in.
Well, I'll save my breath. That's a correct answer.
Save
there
some
you
time
go.
From the deliberation that we've done for the previous thinkers.
Okay, that's three. That's three for you after four. What's my fourth question?
Okay. It's a bit of a tense one. Not a tense one, but we're really having to kind of dig in.
I'm so unused to being in the lead, I don't know what to do now.
Oof. So, Emma Stone has been nominated for five Oscars.
Yeah, they said five, didn't they? Yeah.
She's won two for La La Land and Poor Things. I would like you to name the other three.
The ones she didn't win for, basically.
Yep. And the category that she was nominated for.
Okay, what's she done that I've seen? So she's had three other nominations.
Yes.
Okay, what else should she be nominated in? The Favourite had lots of nominations, didn't it? Now, was she leading actress? That's Olivia Colman. But did they nominate two leading actresses in that? Because Rachel Weisz is in it. Emma Stone's in it. Olivia Colman's in it. Olivia Colman wins Best Actress. Is Emma Stone nominated as Best Actress on that and doesn't win because Olivia does? Or is she supporting... For large parts of the film to begin with, it's Rachel Weisz and Olivia Colman, isn't it? Because that's the start and Emma Stone comes in... I think the percentage guess is supporting actress. So supporting actress for The Favourite.
That is correct.
Okay.
There's two more.
She's one for La La Land.
This is a... I don't know if you'll get it. This is a very hard one, so I wouldn't stress too much about it. This is a very hard question.
The other big one of the categories. Yeah. So Easy A is a film that she was like... But I don't, that's like a bit indie. I don't think that got any nominations for anything. Obviously, Zombieland doesn't get Oscar nominations. She's in Birdman, isn't she? She's Michael Keaton's daughter. I mean, I don't remember her getting nominated for that. It was all Michael Keaton and Inarritu. But it got loads and loads of nominations, didn't it? So, didn't Birdman win Best Picture that year? And it was the era when Inarritu was just getting showered with nominations. Is that Best Actress? It's not Best Actress, is it? But Best Supporting, maybe. What else did she do? She did that other one with Ryan Gosling. But I don't even remember what that's called. Okay. All right. Best Supporting Actress for Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance.
Yep.
Okay.
So there's one more, but one more. I don't think we're getting this.
Okay. What else has she? What other performances has she had? There was that Battle of the Sexes thing because she played Billie Jean King. Now that's... But it wasn't all that... Did that dominate any awards ceremonies? She surely can't have won anything for being in Cruella.
It's not even a win, it's a nomination.
Yeah, a nomination. Man. What else has she done then? I'm a bit of a loss. I've got a guess. I've got to say something though.
I realize this is
quite
a hard one.
Okay, all right. All right, absolute Hail Mary. Maybe she's a producer on Poor Things. Is she like a? Does she get a nomination because Poor Things got a Best Picture nomination?
That's correct.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, that was. I think we needed to get that one wrapped up.
Sorry, just
since you were going to drive yourself crazy.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right, so four questions, 4-3 to me. Last question.
Yep.
Okay, so you at the moment you're answering this to stay in the quiz.
Yep.
Which Batman actor is such a big fan of the character that he had a special Batcave style entrance built into his own house, in which a special button behind a bookcase leads to a secret room?
Sure.
So just to be clear, he doesn't have a Batcave, but you know all the Batman films have a bit where you push a bookcase and it opens and there's something behind it. And it's one of these three people who've played Batman in the films. Ben Affleck, Michael Keaton, or Christian Bale. One of those
It's not going to be Christian Bale. And I don't think it'll be Michael Keaton. I genuinely think this might be Ben Affleck just because of the actors you've given me there. Christian Bale, obviously iconic in his turn, and Michael Keaton was the kind of first. But I don't get the kind of impression from Michael Keaton that he was into it that much, because I feel like Ben Affleck was really into it. He was just, the films were shit. So going by that, I am going to go for Ben Affleck.
Is the right answer.
Whew.
He paid $50,000 to have it done. It leads to a panic room. I don't think he needs a panic room. He just wanted to have like a bookcase where you pull a book and it opens the door.
That's change if you're Ben Affleck. So.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. Okay. If I get this right, I can win a quiz for the first time. And how long have we been doing this? Over a year. Okay. All right. Come on.
All right. I want you to name me, since 2010, six of the best score winners. Not including this year's ceremony, I don't think that's very fair. So from 2023 to 2010.
Okay. Definitely Hans Zimmer won for Dune.
Yes. Sorry, let me get my...
That was 2021, wasn't it?
So, yeah. So, 2021 was June.
It's one that just jumps out. Because that's all the ones that he didn't win for prior to that. Because all these things like Inception and 12 Years a Slave, he didn't win. Now, I'm fairly sure that All Quiet on the Western Front won Best Score last year, but I can't remember for the life of me who the fuck did it.
You don't need to name the person that done it.
Oh, can I just name the film?
But what I will say is, if you're allowed to get one wrong. If you get two wrong, that's the question over. So.
Okay, all right. While I can't remember the name of the actual composer, I'm fairly sure that All Quiet on the Western Front won Best Score, because I remember just thinking that's just four notes. Have they won the Oscar? But
that's two.
That's two. Okay. And I do remember, because you referred to this as GBH, Grand Budapest Hotel, but also GBH on Hans Zimmer, because instead of him winning for Interstellar, Grand Budapest Hotel won Alexandra Desplat.
Yeah, that's a disgrace.
I remember these in the context of Hans Zimmer not winning and how angry you were about them, because the other one I remember is The Social Network, Trent Reznor.
That's four.
How many do I need?
Two more.
Okay. I've got all the ones that I know off the top of my head. Ennio Morricone won for Hateful Eight, because I remember everyone going, finally Ennio Morricone won, and it was Tarantino.
Five, so one more.
I think, again, because we did our special, it's still on Spotify, special Spotify episode, I think, or it might have gone off because we've changed providers, but we did one on music for films, and I remember working out whether I was pronouncing Hilda Gudnadotter right, but I'm pretty sure she won for Joker.
That is six, well done.
I can't believe it, I've won a quiz!
Yay!
Okay, so the score is now 5-1 to James in quizzes. I'm still embarrassed, but at least I'm on the board. Well played, mate. That was a tight one. You only got one wrong. I apologise for this. You have to watch The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou by Wes Anderson.
Yeah, you may get 5 minutes. I might watch the opening credits and that's it.
I will say that I have watched every minute of the ones you made me watch, including A Monkey's Tale, although I deserve that.
I did say you didn't have to.
So. I know. Yeah. No, just to get a flavour of it. You might want to spin on and just see some of the bits during the middle, because I think the bits you really need to see are the bits where the guy is singing David Bowie songs in Spanish.
Do you know what I might do? I've got a couple of 12-hour shifts coming up.
Yeah.
So what I might do is I might come home and put it on.
and fall and asleep.
Whether I'm awake or not.
At least you're facing the screen when it's on.
Yep.
All right.
My ears will hear it. My eyes won't see it.
All right. But that's the Penalty Shootout film quiz for this month. Well played, James, and thank you for listening, everyone.
Very good.
Thank you for listening to the latest Penalty Shootout film quiz brought to you by Double Reel. The score is now 5-1 to James after I finally got a win on the board. Thanks to my co-host James Adamson. Thanks also to Podbean for hosting and Audacity for editing. We are grateful for their continued support. The music was Mistake the Getaway by Kevin MacLeod. The first part of this month's issue, Double Reel Monthly, is available to download now with news, new releases, reviews of new films and the latest in our annual film projects. In a few days, we will deliver the next part, The Features, with a theme of films from Asian cinema. This includes our classic Audition and hidden gem Steel Rain. The one that got away is the story of Wong Kar-wai's The Lady from Shanghai, and our remake Hate Watch is the American remake of Old Boy. Until next time, stay safe, watch lots of films, and may your life be as awesome as you pretend it is on social media.